Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Evie. Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you're here, whether you're in the room with us or whether you're watching us online. We're grateful that you've joined us for worship. We know that for some, you might be a first-time guest, and we want to especially welcome you. Others of us might be winding down our summer, and our schedules have shifted a little bit, and so maybe you're here, and you've been other places during the summer, and your rhythms are such that you're joining us on Sunday mornings again. We're grateful to welcome you back. I'm sorry if you came back from places that were cooler than this. I don't know when this is going to stop. It just seems endless. Our rhythms are changing because of the school year, and I love the words that Stacy spoke as a blessing over our school employees, over our students, and over our parents. Aubrey and I have joined the Parents Club. Our kids will start Highland Park Schools on Tuesday, so here we go. We've gotten three times the schedules. Here we go. I'm going to be here, but I'm also going to be just a Uber driver for my kids. I think that's how this is going to go. I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad to welcome you as we finish this series called God According to God. We're going to be in a minute in Psalm 145, if you want to be turning there, or it'll be on the screen. Let me start out by asking you this question. Have you ever gotten an email where the subject line itself, before you even open the email, the subject line makes you anxious? Subject lines like, we need to meet, you know. Okay. So the other day I was going through my inbox and I got an email with one of these kinds of subject lines, although I knew exactly what it was. The email was from Blaine and the subject was this, rodent activity. Just the kind of thing you want to get. Now, let me just be specific with what's going on here. Nothing at the building, we're fine. Nothing in the staff houses, I don't think. It's in the yards, and it was taken care of. Here's, by the way, what I've learned. If you get an email from Blaine about a building issue, it's half solved already, if not solved completely. So I knew he was on it. In fact, that's what the email said. We're on it. Here's where the traps are. Everything's fine. But just that subject line was funny to me, because you can imagine getting that in a different context, and that subject line, just rodent activity, might make you anxious. Sometimes you use a phrase in different settings and it means different things. Here's another phrase that might mean something. Imagine the phrase, that really helped with or that cured my insomnia. Okay? That cured my insomnia. Now, it's one thing if you say that in reference to, say, melatonin. That's great. That cured my insomnia. But what if it's, I don't know, referring to something else? Show the next one. I don't want to hear that about me or one of my sermons. I'm well aware that some people sleep during my sermons. I don't want to hear it, though. That cured my insomnia. That phrase means something quite different in that context. We can use different, we can say the same thing in different contexts and has quite different meanings. We're going to wrap up this series today by talking about how this phrase that God reveals himself with gets used in three different psalms. Now, as a reminder, we started the series looking at God's conversation with Moses in Exodus 34. Moses has been up on the mountain. He brings down the Ten Commandments. The people couldn't even wait on him to get down, and so they've made a golden calf as an idol. God is angry, and so he and Moses are negotiating the punishment. And as part of this, God says, Moses, I'm going to reveal myself to you. And so God introduces himself to Moses with this phrase, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and so forth. And what we've done in this series is look at particular places where this phrase shows up. Sometimes it's God saying it again to remind people of who he is. Sometimes it's another person saying it back to God, saying, God, you said this is who you are, but it sure doesn't feel like that right now. Sometimes it's even Jonah saying it in frustration because God is gracious and compassionate. It's just he's gracious and compassionate towards people Jonah doesn't like. So the phrase gets used several times with different emphases. In the Psalms, this shows up. And so as we've looked at other people saying this, I want today to talk about how we can say this in different seasons of life. And I'm using three categories of Psalms that may be familiar to you. These were originated by Walter Brueggemann in his book, The Message of the Psalms. He uses three different categories, and I'm going to give you his word, and I'm going to give you my word for these. He talks about, first, Psalms of orientation, where everything is going fine. This is the psalm you say when someone says, "How's it going?" And you say, "Oh, can't complain. Nothing particular. It's just right now, I don't have a lot of trouble and distress in life, and I'm thankful for that." So those are psalms of orientation. I even call them just psalms on the path, just walking along and things are fine. Second, disorientation. I call this the pit. And the psalm writers call this the pit as well. This is when life is hard, either because of external factors, you're under pressure, the bad guys are after you, you're in distress, or maybe you've caused it by your own sin. Either way, you find yourself in the pit. And finally, new orientation or reorientation. I call this perspective. This is when you're over here looking back. And there are specific things that God has done in recent memory for which you are thankful. There, almost every psalm can fit into one of those categories. And we're going to see that in each of these three categories, it is appropriate to speak these words back to God. So, join me in Psalm 145 as we read a psalm along the path where things are just okay. Psalm 145, beginning in verse 1. "I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever." So the psalm begins with just a general call to praise. And then it gets into the deeds of the Lord that will be told from grandparents to parents to children. Verse 3, "Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness." And what is it that each generation tells? Verse 8, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love." Go down to verse 20. "The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." So this psalm just speaks of the generic state of being where God is just and things work out like they're supposed to. And it ends in verse 21, "My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever." So the psalmist here calls every creature through all generations to praise the God who rewards the righteous and punishes the wicked, who is gracious and compassionate and slow to anger and rich in love. There's a psalm from just someone on the path. Life is okay and God is good and we are thankful. And if you find yourself on the path, nothing particularly good or bad, you can pray to God and be thankful that he is gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. What if you find yourself in the pit? Things are hard. Finances are tough. You've got a lot of health scares. Someone in your family is causing you grief and heartache. Maybe your own sin has caused you to suffer consequences. Join this psalmist in Psalm 86, who says these words to God from the pit. Psalm 86, beginning in verse 1. "Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. So, as most lament psalms do, our psalmist here begins with addressing God, calling him by name, Lord, and a petition. What does this psalmist want God to do? He says things like, hear me, and guard my life, and save your servant, and bring me joy. And then this psalmist speaks back to God who he thinks God is. Verse 5, you, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. So we get this confession of trust that God is forgiving and good. Not all lament psalms have a confession of trust. Some people are just so far down in the pit, it's hard for them to believe much about God at that point. And you may have been there too. But this writer believes, in the abstract at least, that God still is these things. And he again asks God to hear his prayer. And now we get down to the problem this psalmist is facing. What's going on that he needs God's help with? Verse 14. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. And here's our key verse, 15. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. So the complaint of this psalmist is that arrogant foes are attacking me, ruthless people are trying to kill me. In other words, the bad guys are after me, and I think they might win. And his solution to that is to call on God to be who he said he was. And if God is in fact gracious and compassionate, then he will rescue this psalmist from the bad guys. And he ends the psalm saying this, turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. This psalmist, he doesn't think things are easy. He's not trying to be rosy. He's not saying, well, no matter what, always say nice things to God. He's not saying this phrase to God as a way of flattery. He's saying, you are gracious and compassionate, and I need to see those qualities show up for me right now. Because if you don't show up as the gracious and compassionate God, I think the bad guys are going to win. So here's a person in the pit who is speaking God's own definition of himself back to God. If you find yourself in the pit and you don't have words to say, you can speak these words back to God. I've told many of you the story that back in 2006, I was not working at a church at the time. I was on a hiatus from ministry, and we suffered several things in our family. My grandfather's diagnosis of a terminal brain tumor, a miscarriage that Aubrey and I went through. I went through about a year where I didn't really have words for God. We weren't on 100% speaking terms. Even my singing was half-hearted. And I didn't have a lot of words to say. And I had to rely on the words of others through the generations because I just didn't have the energy to make up new ones. If you find yourself not knowing what to say to God, it is okay to borrow these words and say them back to God and call on God to be gracious and compassionate to you. If you need to do that, you are in good company with people in Scripture. So we've talked about what to say to God on the path when things are just good for no particular reason. We've talked about what to say to God in the pit when things are hard. What about from a place of perspective? When we're looking back and God has gotten us through tough times. Well, then we join the psalmist, chapter 103. Psalm 103, the writer here begins with generic praise again. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Okay, that's pretty generic, right? Praise the Lord, we get that. But now this psalmist is going to list out specific things that God has done. Look at verse 3. It's the God who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. So here's perspective. This psalmist is looking back on a God who is doing these things. He's forgiving and healing and redeeming and crowning and satisfying and working righteousness and justice. Sounds like someone who's had this happen in his life very recently. And then he calls back to the introduction with Moses. Verse 7, God made he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. And now we get to the key verse that Evie read for us just a minute ago. The Lord is gracious, is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. This time, this description seems to me to be rooted in specific measurable acts. Not just because things are going well, it's because God has forgiven me and satisfied me and crowned me, and because God works justice and righteousness in ways that I have seen. And so when you find yourself with some perspective and you want to be thankful, these are the kinds of words you can say. And this psalm ends this way. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. When God has been working in your life and you can name those ways, don't forget to say thank you. And one of the ways you can say thank you is by acknowledging who God is. To say, God, you are gracious and compassionate, and here are the ways I've seen you be that for me recently. So when you've got perspective and you're looking back, don't forget to say thanks to God. So God is active in all of these things. If you find yourself today on the path and you're feeling okay about life, nothing particularly good, don't take that for granted. So if you find yourself on the path, read Psalm 145 and you can pray those words back to God. It is appropriate to speak these things even without any particular reason. And if you find yourself in the pit and life is hard, and the bad guys are winning, or the disease is winning, or the sin is winning, and if you don't have words to say, then you can pick up Psalm 86 and pray that back to God. And then if you find yourself looking with perspective on something God has done recently, and you're wondering what to say, you can join the psalmist of Psalm 103, and you can pray God's description back to him, thanking him for being that in specific ways that you have seen. So when God revealed himself to Moses with these words, and when the other people spoke it back to God, they were forming for us, I think, the best self-description we have of God, and it's a description that is appropriate for us to pray back to God no matter what season. And the thing we can know from this is it's not just that these words work in every season, but that tells us that God is at work in every season of our lives. So no matter where you find yourself, you can be assured that God is at work. And if you find yourself unable to muster up words, Then join the writers and kings and prophets and poets of Scripture in praying this back to God. And so I want to end this sermon and this series by having us speak this together. So would you read with me the words that are on the screen? The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's be standing.